Elizabeth Bradfield is a poet and a naturalist. Some days, she's alone in a little nook in her bedroom, working on her fourth book of poetry. Other days, she's out on a whale watch boat, collecting data about whales and teaching hundreds of people about marine science. Elizabeth's writing and bits of conversation will weave through a day on a whale watch trip. We begin on a boat in Provincetown.
There she goes. Good morning, everybody. My name's Liz. I'm going to be your naturalist today. If you're wondering where the voice is coming from, I'm on the upper deck right behind the wheelhouse, and I have some...
The truth is, I am most alive in my physical body and thus in the hum and thrum that drives me toward poems when I am on a boat on the ocean.
And we are headed out into the North Atlantic Ocean.
The ocean is not just muse or metaphor. It is not only a pathway humans have traveled with their fraught histories. It is also an inhabited place, not a blank upon which the poet can freely imagine without betraying an actuality and an ecosystem, fish, copepods, tunicates, eels, porpoises, murres, and diatoms.
Don't you want to know what's going on underwater? Imagine now why marine science...
Humans have so much work yet to do in order to understand even the hem of the ocean. How do we write the life of oceanic creatures in a way that honors the accuracy and the mystery of their lives? Poetry can do that. It can make vivid the impossible. I'm a little bit lucky in that I don't have to be a biologist. I mean, I don't have to be dispassionate.
So imagine that you are a humpback whale. You're a humpback whale. Now, your mouth is not this tiny little thing on the front of your face. Your mouth stretches about 10 feet in front of your eyeballs. You have a huge mouth.
To try and understand something, we try and find a connection with it. You can do experiments on prey and socialization and that kind of stuff, but I think we also need to try and understand it through stories.
There's nothing at the surface now, but keep your eyes on the water from, say, our 12 to our 1 o'clock. There was a spout at our 12:30 a couple minutes ago.
I've received so much amazing advice and help over the years from biologists and naturalists who have taught me how to slow down, walk a little slower, think a little slower, read a little slower. Something happens when you slow down. Surprises have time to enter, and you want the surprises. For the third time today, 12 miles out and back to the whales, my voice through the PA flat as last night's tonic. I write more slowly, I write less, and I value the silences between poems as a way of letting things kind of accumulate and accrue. Through my patter of ecology and evolution, I'm thinking, what can I say that will matter beyond this, your annual 10 paid days?
Evolving and adapting to the marine environment.
Then the twin engines downroar to slow ahead.
See the glow in the water. He's coming up.
Turns chirr the air, and a geyser of breath rises as if on cue. The railings crowd, cameras rise. Empathy and longing fog the air, thick as diesel exhaust.
Oh my God.
And down she goes.
I can smell the long dive on the breath of the whale, fishy and pungent.
If I was poet self all the time, I think I would go crazy. And if I was naturalist all the time, I think I would miss that emotional connection.
I feel really lucky that I didn't have to choose, or that I kind of forced my way through the brambles so that I didn't have to choose. The imperative of the ocean is to carry on, no matter what. I seek this continuing. And I think, you know, what is the purpose of the ocean? It's just to be, to keep being. And what a beautiful sense to inhabit. I think as a person who has self-doubt and worries about others and all of those things that occupy our human lives, to just keep going, to just be, to have that be the purpose in and of itself seems like such a relief.
For WCAI's Ways of Life, I'm Nora Boydell.